The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything that you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. I've been so pumped to take a couple of friends with our road bikes to some of the trails nearby, and now I can bring the entire crew, my dog, and all of our gear with that third row. Learn more about the new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Nah, 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 come on!
On this episode of The Heat Check, I'm coming to you live from Summer League in my hotel room. Found a little mic that hooks up to the cell phone, so now I am fully mobile. And it looks like the DeAndre Ayton sweepstakes are in what we call the end game now. It's like Marvel. Who's gonna snap and blip everyone? Probably the Pacers. We look at some news from around the league, and I begin my dissection of, well, not really begin, I did some last Friday, of this year's rookie and second year crop. It's gonna be interesting, man. A lot is popping here. Sights and sounds have been titillating. Can't wait to get into it, so my guy Brock, go ahead and drop that motherfucking beat.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, I'm recording this podcast amidst the chaos of Summer League in Las Vegas. I made the mistake. I mean, I did the right thing as a parent, and I brought my dog with me to the Aria. Was I not supposed to give out my location? By the time you listen to this, I probably won't even be there, truthfully. Security is on 10, too. Security, I locked myself out of my room, and they literally, even with my everything, ID, with, they wouldn't let me inside. They wouldn't let me inside my own damn room. So I tell you what, I don't actually give a fuck that I told you I was at the RU. You can't get me. What, are you going to find me at the Starbucks? No chance. Just got out of a nearly two-hour interview with the logo himself, Jerry West. I told him, I'm going to do the intro before the pod, like, so we don't do it, need to do it now. And he goes, intro? What do I need an intro for? I was like, you're right. You're right. You know what I mean? Like, you're right. We'll drop that on the Heat Check in the next couple of weeks. It was really, really good. We also got an interview with Nick Nurse coming up soon, which is awesome. So check that out when it comes out. I'm going to promote that fucking hard. But I'm going to go over some news around the league, then give you my initial impressions of the first half of Summer League itself. Let's quickly get into the news. DeAndre Ayton's going to be on the move, folks. It's going to be happening. The big rumors here in Vegas is that the Indiana Pacers are probably going to make a move. They're going to give him an offer sheet. People are literally asking folks, like, hey, when's an offer sheet coming? Is it going to come in the next 24 hours? Is it going to come in the next 48 hours? I mean, we know the offer sheet's coming. And that should finally set in motion the end game for the big man. And the Suns would only have 48 hours to either match or work out a sign-in trade, or they'll lose him for absolutely nothing. I actually think, though, that you can't do a sign-in trade if you have an offer sheet. So you have to either match or you get him for nothing. So I think the CBA does not allow a team that has already had a competing team offer a free agent sign-in trade. I think there's rules against them. I actually ran into DeAndre Ayton, low-key, looking great. He said he is laying low right now, currently laying low. He's coming on the pod, though, when things calm down, meaning when he's signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Probably the nicest guy in the league. Like I've said multiple times before on this podcast, Stop running my man's name through the streets like this. He is a talent, and a talent I think who can be one of the top three bigs in the league. And he wants to be valued and treated well, which I think is, like, paramount. When you're as good as he is, you should be treated as such, and you should be spoken of as such, and you should be paid as such. It makes sense, too, I think, for everyone involved. The Pacers, they cleared their cap space by sending out Malcolm Brogdon, which was a sweat. I think they were trying to get... It seemed and it appeared that the Malcolm Brogdon thing didn't work in Indy, and they ended up getting some other guards. They got Ben Mathurin. Brian Windhorst reported that Pacers owner Herb Simon, despite having room under the cap, preferred sign-in trades because he doesn't like hurting other owners. He's considered one of the nicest guys among NBA owners. I actually spoke to someone who said every time Herb Simon comes into the building and watches film or chats with the front office folks, he always thanks them and says how much he appreciates them. Every single time. He's a billionaire. And he takes time out to say, listen, I really appreciate y'all and the work that you're doing to make my team a success. So I do think a sign-in trade is in the works, which means that probably no offer sheet is going to happen. Probably we're going to see a sign-in trade happen. My first impression, I think that's dope. I think it's an awesome spot for the Caribbean Breeze. I think that's what they call him. I think this is going to allow him to be a focal point of the offense. Tyrese Haliburton loves to pass. That's what he loves to do. It's what he does really well. We're going to see what 48, 46 minutes of Ayton looks like. And let me tell you this. Teams are going to be sick when they see what Ayton can do. I've seen him since he was 16 years old, and he is an absolute bucket. His footwork is insane for a guy that size. His handles are insane. He can go down low. He can get you blocks. People talk about his work ethic. I don't think so. I don't think that's correct. At the end of the day, all these talent evaluators are just dudes. You know, just like me. They see what I see. They think what they think. They just get to pull the trigger. The only difference between me and them is they get to pull the trigger. Like, we see the same exact things. I talk to them, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know that you're that much smarter than me. I'm not going to lie. Okay? So... top five centers in the game, I think. Probably top three. He can defend the rim. He can guard the perimeter. He can run in transition. He can switch everything. He can shoot from three. He's going to shoot the three a lot in Indiana if he ends up going there. He's a monster in the pick and roll. His rolling, his screen setting, his closeouts, his seals. Cannot wait to see him become the star that I knew he was when I saw him at 17. And I think that means Miles Turner probably ends up being on the move as well. Probably in a sign-and-trade with Phoenix also. Suns then get a big man on an expiring that won't cost them $30 million when his deal expires because, you know, they don't want to pay. And Indy gets a real star player that can put up 28, 10, and 4. The question is, Miles Turner. How does Miles Turner gel or mesh with Chris Paul? An inconsistent big with Chris Paul? He grinds these boys down to dust. You saw what he did to DeAndre Jordan. He does it with every big he's around. And that's no shade to Chris Paul. I think he's one of the best in the business. But he grinds on you. He's not really a carrot guy. You know what I mean? He's a stick guy. That's okay. But he's a stick guy. And the stick gets tough. When you start getting welts on your body for 12, 24, 36 months, you're like, get me the fuck out of here. But this is the story that's dominated the summer league for probably the entirety that I've been here. Been bubbling up to the point where I think folks think that the deal is imminent. I spoke with a financial advisor who said that they were going to be linking up with DA and that he was having some team meetings. And I was like, team meetings? What is he fucking talking to Phoenix still for? And she goes, no, prospective team meetings. And I was like, oh, that makes more sense. So stay tuned on that one. Probably wouldn't be surprised if DA has a new home either today or tomorrow. Speaking of the Pacers, Malcolm Brogdon, that boy drags his feet to get his physical done, doesn't he? It took forever. Everyone got their physical done. Nesmith, Theis, there's some other people involved in the deal. I don't even know their names, but they all got it done too. Nesmith was supposed to play in Summer League this week. He's available tonight, but hasn't been available due to the fact that the trade can't be completed until Malcolm Brogdon gets your physical, sir. Color me skeptical. about this trade for Boston. I initially thought it would be perfect. I did. I was like, man, Malcolm Brogdon, ball handler, he doesn't turn the ball over, he's a good floor general, consummate pro, decent leader. But there's just something about dragging your feet on the physical. There's just something about, I don't know what he went through, I don't know what he's doing, I don't know what he could be up to that's taking so long. But I do wonder, on a team full of dogs that go to work, get the job done, don't ask no questions, no matter if they're injured, how banged up they are, and how often Malcolm Brogdon seems to be banged up to the point where he can't play for whatever reason. Not sure how guys like Ime and Rob Williams and Marcus Smart are going to roll with that. He might just be a guy that you play like a microwave off the bench when you need someone to have a calm demeanor in the fourth quarter of a game. If he can stay healthy, if he can integrate into the culture, meaning if he can assimilate when in Rome, when in Boston, do what the Bostonians do, all good. If he tries to do his own thing and it's counterculture, it could be a fucking problem. I mean, he has slow played the physical for like 7 days. I don't know. Something just feels weird about that. We'll have to see. He is a hell of a player. Cue the Windy. Why would he do that?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's move on. Everyone's favorite pest, Patrick Beverley, back in the news again after being part of the massive package that the Wolves sent out to the Utah Jazz for Rudy Gobert. We all know that Patrick Beverley is a winning player. He repped the Wolves pretty much all year and literally cried tears of joy and emotion when they went to the playoffs. I love that emotion. Even though he got a lot of shit for the emotion, I thought that that was exactly what you want, is you brought a team that hadn't been to the playoffs in a very long time, and you got them that. You got the fans that, and now that's something to build on. That's something that you can definitely say is a moment you can remember and a moment to be proud of, to the point that tears happen. He's in Utah, and how shall we say, kind of concerned, kind of calling out the Jazz for what seemingly feels like purgatory. Kind of doesn't seem like they're really committed to tanking, and they're certainly not committed to winning. They haven't signed a single free agent so far this year, not one. All they've done is trade two of their best three players away while the third is just suiting up in a Mets uniform, taking batting practice at Citi Field, and Donovan feels like he wants to be on the move, get me out of this place. And today it was reported that Jazz are fielding offers for him, which rumors are involved one package from Miami that potentially, probably, definitely included Tyler Hero. What do I feel about this? I feel like Utah thinks that they're going, we know this about Danny Ainge. He wants to win the trade. And he did against Minnesota, right? That's what we call against. That was an against move. You collaborated, you partnered, but you fleeced him. That's what he wants to do. He wants to fleece you. So what, Pat Riley's not about to get fleeced now. Not about to get fleeced now. So we're going to have to see what kind of package ends up happening. Knicks don't have a ton of valuable first-round picks, right? So how can you be fleeced when all of your picks are pretty much top 19 protected? So we're going to have to see. Anyway, Pat Bev is watching this for probably from the green room at First Take. And let's just say he's got thoughts. He said this to his new GM, Danny Ainge, on his IG Live on his birthday. He's like, Utah, y'all trying to win or y'all trying to tank? Let me know. All I do is make the playoffs, and all I do is win. All I do is win, no matter what. He's like, are we going to take Utah all the way, or is Utah going to say they don't need me and we can go somewhere else? Hey, Pat Bev, that second part. Every team Pat Bev has been on has made the playoffs. Houston, L.A., Minnesota. He He was somewhere else too, wasn't he? The Jazz as we know it, I think, are done.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
And not only do I know it, executives and owners around the league know it too. Like the dominant storyline, you're like, hey, what's up? How you doing? Where you staying? Oh, you're at the Palm? Cool. How long you here for? Oh, till Saturday? Damn, that's a long time. Oh, what are you doing for dinner tonight? Oh, I don't know, meeting up with some other execs. Oh, cool, cool, cool. How about that fucking, what are the Jazz doing? That's how that goes. Every time I've listened to it up close, and it's like that. It's also, did you see how much Portland gave Damian Lillard? What the fuck is happening there? That's the things that I'm hearing. I'm not saying those things myself. I would never say that, because as you guys know, I love Dame. I love Dame. I love the Blazers, giving my loyalty and all of the things, good feel good things, since 4 years old. But that's what other people, other very prominent people, other people that if I told you their name, you would understand who they were. That's what they are saying. Also, Jalen Brunson is getting drunk through the coals. People don't understand that deal as well. So the Knicks aren't making good moves, according to these people. The Wolves aren't making good moves. The Jazz aren't making good moves. And Portland's not making good moves. Four teams that, you know what? You logically look at their success and you say, you know what, that makes sense that they would be skeptical of these deals. So my favorite place for him to go, Pat Bev, probably Dallas. Jalen Hardy, so hard to remember. It's Jaden Ivey and Jalen Hardy. Jalen Hardy is a Dallas Maverick. He's a rookie from the G League Knight. He is a bucket. Until he can come in and actually get real reps to replace Jalen Brunson, I love Pat Bev in this role, and I think Luka will too. All right, let's move on to my summer league sights and sounds. It's literally insane here. I sat down to write this podcast. I had a dozen messages from people who were like, hey, want to see what's up? What are you doing tonight? What's your schedule? I don't know. I don't know what my damn schedule is. I'm just trying to keep my head above water here. I'm trying to make content for y'all. I'm trying to solidify interviews for the future. I'm trying to make BetMGM happy. All these things. No complaining. There's no complaining here. But this is just what the schedule is. And your girl's not great at time management. So I got a dozen texts being like, hey, we still on for a hit with Buffalo? No, we're not on with a hit with Buffalo. I'm in Vegas, baby. I haven't even gone to the pool yet, and I've been here fucking almost a week grinding. So let's talk about, that sounded like a complaint. It wasn't. let's talk about Chet. Chet Holmgren Gonzaga, what does he look like? What does he feel? I don't know if they feel, I want to know if I feel him up or anything, but like they want to know what his vibe is. Vibe check. I saw him play yesterday. I saw him play against the Orlando Magic, who, by the way, sat Paolo Banchero for what reason? I don't know. Not sure. That would have been an amazing matchup. A lot of fans wanted to see Josh Giddey out here. Second year player, almost made rookie of the year, made the all rookie team. He's out there balling still. This man doesn't need to solidify his role in the NBA. My man Paolo Banchero sitting on the bench. Anyway, Chet. People say he's like KD. I don't see it. He just plays like a little bit of a different game to me. Due to the fact he's taller. His frame, like his actual torso itself, is smaller, right? Like to me, Chet's got like a 7'4 wingspan, I want to say. Let's look that up. 7'4 wingspan. Let's look. Chet wingspan. 7'6? Holy fuck. Okay, Chet's got a 7'6 wingspan, right? But I want to say his chest, like the non-arm part of the wingspan, I want to say that's maybe a foot. Like, I want to say it's like 14 inches wide. Not even joking. I don't even know what that's called. Is that like a chest, like the chest width? I think I have the same chest width as Chet. Like, seriously, not even joking. So his arms, his actual arm length, I mean, you're talking about his arms are probably almost as tall as me. That's fucking crazy. His arm, from his shoulder insertion, his armpit to his middle finger, is gotta be almost 4 feet long. That's sick. So I saw him in person for the first time, and I've seen him on TV a lot. But it's not like having firsthand experience. Like I said about Paolo before, you see Paolo up close and it's just jaw-dropping. And let's be honest, Gonzaga's system probably didn't use him as well as they could have. He's probably going to be closer in terms of his role and how he's used as the player that we saw him in high school in terms of that role. Timmy was there in Gonzaga, and Andrew Nembhard was there in Gonzaga. And Gonzaga's like a – let me say this politely – they're not a team that's, like, necessarily turning out a ton of pros that are, like, contributing in a meaningful way. They're a college team, a nice college team, a fundamentally sound college team, and a monster that's been successful for a very long time. But they're not giving guys the rock and letting them clear out, ISO on me, let me give them some buckets. They're not allowing that shit. So Chet is deserving of being high usage, and he will be. It'll be Giddy getting in the ball, though, too, cutting to the lane. They're a fun fucking team. Shea, Giddy, Chet, Dort. Fuck, that's a squad. Fun. Couple of Canadians on there. So I think Chet could be one of the best North American players, white North American players. And I know it's like, oh, why do you have to make it a race thing? It's like, I don't know. There's just not that many white American guys that are balling in the league right now. So Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, John Stockton, I think he's in that group. He's one part guard, one part big, I think. Like, there's parts of his game where he can just go into – it's like he has different modes. It's like a car that's got, like, sport mode. And it's got, like, cruise mode. Like, Chet can play a guard. He can pass and handle like he's 6'4". He can pass. He tried to just, in traffic, I saw my man, in traffic, behind the back pass to someone cutting. And I was like, God damn, Chet is brave. He has no chill. Then he can go into sport mode and just turn into like a go-go gadget and turn into a block machine and block someone's shit all the way into the stands. He can do that like 5, 6, 7 times a game. If he just decided all I'm going to do is just weak side help block, he get probably 10 blocks a game. That's all. Like, is that all he wanted his role to be, not have the ball in his hand on offense or like be out on the perimeter guarding guys on defense? He could just focus on that. He would be nasty, but he's better than that. He's bigger than that. He's more versatile than that. He has really good footwork, I think, for a big guy. His handles are super impressive. Like, you have to think, like, His arms are long, but his legs are really long. Like, his legs are, there's a long way to go from his fingertips to the ground, boy. And for whatever reason, he can dribble low. His handles are really smooth. He's got great control. He wants to bring the ball down the court fast, like a cheetah or an antelope or a giraffe, just fast. He's so big, but he's barreling down in total control. He wants to get his teammates involved. He wants to pass to the open man out in transition. He can be he can pass at the outlet really well. He has the ability to get to his spots really well. Has, like I said, great footwork, but a great bag of tricks. Has some turnaround packages, layup packages are a little bit fundamental, but he's impressive. He's really impressive. Of course I'm going to be concerned and curious about how he's going to go up against guys like Embiid, guys like Giannis, but he's going to get into the weight room, and he's going to get stronger. He's going to get bigger. And you know what? Like I said, he's tough. He's not backing down from nobody. He's part of, you know, he's for the culture. He's for the culture. Shockingly agile as well. Lasting impression that I have from Chet in 2 summer league games is that he and Josh Giddey are going to be so fun. There's like already a natural connection. You know that Josh Giddey played in summer league just for Chet. And when you add Shea and Dort in the mix, like OKC is your league pass team of the year. Is he rookie of the year? I don't know. Considering his odds dropped from +475 on draft night to +360 after his first summer league game, I would say he's going to shock the world. He's going to be someone to keep your eye on for that. Probably don't want to wait too much longer, though. Another player that executives are gushing about is Josh Primo. not a household name. He's a San Antonio Spur. He was taken 12th in the draft last year, and a ton of people were like, huh? Media members were like, where did he come from? Did you guys reach? They thought that, you know, a lot of people said that they reached for him. He was the youngest player taken in the draft. I think he was 19 when his when he had his first game. Lit up the summer league until he got COVID this year. He showed why even at 19. So he was 18 last year. That's fucking nuts, man. One executive told me that they would have happily, their team would have happily snatched up Josh Primo. And let me just say this. This team's got plenty of guards. Like, they have plenty of guards on this squad, and they would have loved to have Josh Primo. He's a combo guard, but his best skill probably is his passing ability. He can get anywhere on the floor. He can get to his spots. He can run an offense. And you can tell that the game is very slow for him. He has a really good pace for the game, really good court awareness. And I think that San Antonio and their three draft picks in the first round this year, plus him, they're going to be really, really interesting to watch. Moving forward, guys, that we haven't seen in a minute, and we finally get to see him, hasn't played in two fucking years, my man James Wiseman. He's still kind of a deer in headlights a little bit. He is. But I love him. He's a good kid. He's gotten bigger, for sure. His body looks healthy. He's put on a ton of weight in a great way. He's still a tad tentative, I think, going up to the rim, trying to draw contact. Getting rebounds is tough for him because of that. You can just tell he's not really trying to get his body hit. His three-point shot, though, looks really good. I think he could be a guy that plays on the perimeter. The problem, though, with that is he's not really needed on the perimeter, right? He's got Steph, he's got Klay, he's got Poole. He's going to have probably some other folks out there that are going to shoot. I mean, he's got Dante DiVincenzo now on his team. But he's still young. He does not look particularly brave in order to get his body in the mix. So rebounds are – he had two rebounds in his summer league game. When you're 7 feet tall and you get two rebounds in a fucking game, we got some stuff to talk about. A lot of chatter about LaMelo. Everybody talks about LaMelo when they talk about Wiseman because that was the player that the Warriors selected over LaMelo. And we're going to find out in due time who was the better pick. It feels like LaMelo right now, but a lot of this is need versus talent. So they got what they wanted in the summer league. They got what they wanted in the draft, and now we're just going to have to see how his development progresses. Good thing he's on one of the best development teams in the league. All right, guys, I have to hit the rest of Summer League, so I'm going to give you my thoughts on Jalen Hardy, Ben Mathurin, Keegan Murray. By the way, Jalen Hardy, you're going to see him today. A lot of excitement about him. People are saying he's a sleeper of this draft, G League night guy. He ends up going to Dallas. Ben Mathurin in Indy. Keegan Murray, who has taken over Jaden Ivey. And some of the others that I haven't discussed yet. Jaden Ivey looked pretty good, a little out of control. I think I said that before. He actually, I want to say, hurt his back and is out for the rest of Summer League. So I can't see any more of him. But we will discuss more on Friday. That's all the time that we have for the Heat Check. We'll be back from Vegas on Friday with a new episode to recap more of what's popping. So follow us as we get you ready for the summer and the coming of training camp. Do not forget to download, subscribe, please tell your friends, and follow us on social at This Heat Check and at Trista Crick on TikTok.